The Vectors Radio podcasts are sponsored by Break the Cycle CIC, rebuilding self-esteem in people who have experienced domestic abuse. For more, email hello at breakthecycle.org.uk.
You listen to Vectors Radio FM 104.6, and I'm very pleased to say that we've got the new council leader in the studio with us. And well, I should. I'm not going to lie. She's not in the studio. We're socially distanced. But on the other end of this line is Laura PC Wilcox. Welcome, leader.
Thank you. That's a title I'm still trying to get my head around.
I would imagine your feet hasn't touched the ground in the last couple of weeks.
No, my little feet very rarely touch the ground because I'm so short, Ian, but even less so in the past couple of weeks, yes.
Before we go any further, you're the first lady council leader since Shirley Smart, and I just wonder, because obviously Shirley didn't get elected this time, and I was gutted for her, and I had a massive amount of respect. Has she messaged you? Is she supporting you?
Yeah, we have had a couple of email exchanges, but to be honest, she knows that I'm extremely busy because she remembers what it was like. So,
okay, so I mean, you know, Shirley is one of those ladies that has got a vast amount of experience, and so have you now. Because how long have you been a councillor?
Well, an Isle of Wight councillor for nearly 18 years, and a town councillor for 22.
Wow! So tell us why you became a councillor in the first place.
Well, I don't know. I mean, really, I think I've always been public minded and public spirited, probably being number 11 of 12 children on a council estate in Cowes, is where I grew up, is probably made me that person. So I've always been active. You know, I started the National Savings Group at my Love Lane Primary School when I was about six or seven. That was the first sort of thing. And then I was doing Silver Jubilee parties and Golden Jubilee parties, and always arranging something, carnivals, discos, you know, jumbles, you name it. I've just always been a part of the community. And then I was away in Tenerife, came home, picked up an old county press or the past week's county press saying Northwood House is going to be sold. And I just went over my dead body. And with that, we started up a group, Maggie Ankers, Sharon, Janet Allen, Pat and Stan Bester. There was a few of us. We all got together. Started having meetings, absolutely campaigning. I said, look, I don't know what I can do, but I'll do anything. And from there, I think it was a couple of years, and then a vacancy came on the town council. And I think it was Margaret Ankers, and she said to me, Laura, and she waved this bit of paper. She went, oh, there's a vacancy on the town council. And I said, oh, I don't know anything about politics. I'm not interested. And she said, oh, you don't need to, because it's non-political. I went, oh, all right then. And got onto the town council. I think it might have been an election. I won an election. I don't know. I can't remember. And then I think it was about 3 or 4 years later when Andrew Turner rang me at 10:30 one Sunday evening, which I was a bit, I was in bed and I said to my husband, is that the phone? Who rings at 10:30 on a Sunday night? And it was Andrew Turner. I went, oh, well, hello, Andrew, what do you want anyway? And that's when he asked me if I would consider becoming an Isle of Wight councillor. So then it took me about 6-7 weeks to decide, because I didn't think I was a Conservative at all. And I wasn't really too sure about anything at all. So, yeah, it took me quite a while. And that's how I ended up getting involved.
Wow. OK, well, that shows one thing, doesn't it? That you got the Isle of Wight in your blood.
Yeah, I think it, well, and also my family have been here since 1783, I think it is at the moment. Mm. We've got to go back a bit further to trace them back further, which I'm sure we can. So, yeah, my family's blood, sweat and tears are most certainly in the soil here on the island.
You come with, you know, a vast amount of experience. Is that why the group said, come on, we want Laura as our leader?
I don't know really why they did. I think I was a matriarch figure, you know, the old Mother Hubbard or whatever I am, I'm not sure. And I just think it was a natural thing to sort of look after everyone and make sure they all felt included and supported in everything.
Well, you said support is going to be massive for these 4 years, and I think at the end of it all, when people look at the Isle of Wight and as it is and the people that are running it and so on, they just want people to work together, support each other for the good of the island, and we've all got that in common. And what I love most of all about you being the council leader is I know how much you love the Isle of Wight.
Yeah, it's I think it's, yeah, almost like your first love and ever love. I mean, yeah, the island means absolutely everything to me. Always has done. I am forward thinking, but it's also about protection. Like I keep saying, the island cannot get any bigger. We're actually losing space on the island because we erode. We have to look after it. It's precious.
It certainly is, and I would imagine that your first couple of weeks in the job, you're finding out how big a job it is, and how are you finding it?
I think Dave Stewart said it took him 4 years just to get to grips with everything that was going on, and I can see why. He always said he didn't have a clue until he had to take it on and how complex everything was. And that's pretty much the same for us. Like I keep asking people, they need to give us a bit of time. We cannot change everything even in the first month. The complexities of local government and information that comes down from central government is very complex, and nothing is a quick fix or a win.
What's lovely is, Laurie, you've got a mixture of experienced peeps around you and also some new blood as well, which is very much needed. What's the plan for the first, you know, couple of months? I know, you know, you're asking people to give us time, which is absolutely right. You need to find your feet. But what's the immediate plan?
Well, to be honest, at the moment we're being bombarded with lots of training sessions. So at the moment we just seem to be literally running out of one training session, going into the next one, having briefings on something else, meetings in the next. I mean, you know, I can be up at 6 o'clock in the morning and, you know, you're still not going to bed till 11, 12 to try and catch up on the amount of emails. I think everyone on the island thinks that they can contact me and I can magic everything to be mended, you know, in an instant. And it's just not that simple. And for all the time that I'm trying to answer everyone's emails and contacts, it means that, you know, the actual nitty gritty of work is not getting done because you're just waylaid the whole time.
And obviously that will change as things progress. You'll find your feet, your team will find their feet, and all of a sudden we'll start putting things together. I mean, you have put quite a bit of experience around you regarding the cabinet that you've assembled. So talk us through, you know, who you got doing what.
Okay, so, oh God, I'm going to leave someone out now, aren't I? Because I've got the list. Right, well, let's go first with Jeff Brodie, obviously chairman of the council. And Claire Critchison, which is the deputy. Claire will be doing a lot of the civic side of stuff. Jeff's going to be looking in the constitutional policies and things like that. We've got Ian Stevens, who's an ex-leader, who's my deputy. Like you say, the experience he brings is second to none, mainly because of he does a lot of work with the Local Government Association, which is another tier of people. So he does a lot of work there, so that's a good support. We've got Paul Fuller, chair of planning. He's been around planning a long time. He knows an awful lot, so he'll be working on that. We've got Debbie Andre, who's been on all of the children's panels for an awful long time, so she's already very, very well up with her portfolio of children's. We've got Carl Love, who is used to work in public health, actually. So he's got the public health and adult social care. And you've got Jonathan Bacon that's looking after the waste contract, but he's also doing a lot of the open space and that type of thing. Who have I missed?
I don't know. I think you've done really well to remember that lot. I could remember two, so you've done all right.
Oh, hang on. Phil Jordan. We got Phil Jordan, who's Highways, PFI, Transport and Infrastructure. So that's a good one. And also, oh yeah, Jonathan is Environment and Heritage. And most important, well, not to say most important, but actually it is, because everything comes down to money, is the very new man, Chris Jarman, who's doing Strategic Finance, Corporate Resources and Transformational Change.
Right, that's a big job, that is.
It's a massive job.
I mean, they're all big jobs, but what I like about the people that you've chosen is they've all got experience. They've all been around for a while. It's not like someone's just got elected and you've given them a massive role. I mean, start with the chairman. I mean, you know, that's someone that's got vast amounts of experience. And I know that if there's one thing people say about the new chairman is that Jeff has got this knack of controlling things and making sure that everything runs smoothly. And I say, when you've got Claire Critchison, just explain what Claire does, because I know there's more to her than meets the eye. She didn't just turn up. She's actually been working at the council for a number of years.
Yeah, she did. I mean, she was in the events team some years ago. I'm not quite sure when she went and whatever, but she runs her own business and she does vintage teas and afternoon teas and things like that. So she's, Claire knows a lot of the understanding, because obviously being in the council some years ago, yeah.
Okay, so you've got a vast amount of experience there, good team around you. What are the pitfalls going to be for the next 4 years? What do you think you've got to look out for most of all?
Well, it's the way government announces lots of funding, and then you have to spend the next 6 months trying to work out how you can get that funding. So it's very time consuming, because they do tie you up with a lot of, you know, massive amount of red tape to be able to get the projects. Funding is going to be, you know, an issue, and also the distractions of everyone wanting to meet with us and everyone wanting to tell us what's wrong and how they can put it right. But actually, that detracts then from us actually getting on and doing things, really.
Okay. We are going to take a break in a moment, but just to remind people that the cabinet that you just mentioned, we've got Jonathan Bacon coming in next week, and we've also got Debbie Andre coming in the week after, and hopefully we're in the process of setting up every member of the cabinet to come in to tell us what their goals are and how they are going to achieve it. Okay, so we want to talk about the island deal. Is it alive? Was there ever a deal? And if so, how's it all going to happen? So you pick a song now, and we'll come back.
Okay, so I think we'll pick the Tom Jones, Never Gonna Fall in Love Again. Do you know what? I've not broached the subject with Bob Seeley. I do need to at some stage, but again, it's catching up with things at the moment. $50,000 was given. The money's been spent on consultation about how we move forward with, if we're going to get the island deal. I don't know. I, if I'm honest, I just don't know until I speak to Bob to get better clarification that the money that $50,000 was given, but that's just to be spent on people doing consultations.
Is there, I mean, just so for instance, is Bob, you know, has he been in touch? Is he, you know, do you work together? Is that going to be okay?
Well, I hope that Bob's going to work together with me. I'm sure he will. We've always got on actually really well. So up until the election. So, I, you know, let's hope so, because, you know, he's been elected by the people of this island. I've been elected by, you know, people in this island and by those councillors. So, you know, let's just get on with it. We've got so much to do, Ian. We just haven't got time for, you know, backstabbing and biting and stuff. We just haven't got the time for it.
I completely agree, and I just want to say at this point that you know, we that's and I think I talk for a lot of islanders, and if I'm not, then I do apologize, but I think that people are fed up with politics, fed up with reds, blues, yellows, greens, and they just want people to roll their sleeves up, get the job done. We don't care what colour shirt you're wearing. We all want the same thing. I bet if we were all in a room, you know, you and 39 councillors, the other councillors, they would all want the same thing, and that's for the good of the Isle of Wight. So, you know, let's just look at that and work together and make sure that we do the right things in the next 4 years and make sure that we put the Isle of Wight well and truly firmly back on the map and, you know, bring out the sunshine. That's my thoughts on it. I'm sick of all that backstabbing and he said and blame and so on. That blame culture is just a vile thing, but it's negative and it doesn't seem to get anything done. So let's move forward. Let's move together as much as we can as a team. Now, The next 4 years are going to be quite tricky, and I know you're still, you know, sorting out what that's going to look like. So I would imagine people have asked you about schools, regeneration, floating bridge and that sort of thing. Do you have a plan yet?
The plan is to get us through the COVID recovery safely. We're not out of the woods, Ian. As you hear, you know, new variants are coming all the time. We have to be very careful. I'm very mindful that people have got a lot of mental health issues. As I said, people died during COVID. We had no proper funerals, you know, like you would normally have. We had no grieving like we would normally have. So things were very difficult. I want to make sure that people get the mental health support that they need. We need to get back on track with people's health, because we know so many cancer patients, heart patients, everybody like that. You know, I don't know what influence we have as an Isle of Wight Council, but I will be in meetings with those to see how we get that done. We need to get the economy going. Now, you know, from what I can tell, the island is swamped with visitors. Some loathe it, some like it, because it, you know, it means the shops are bursting to the seams, the restaurants, and you know, trying to get people employed on the island at the moment, or you know, unemployed people into work is quite difficult, because we just haven't got enough people on the island to for the demand that there is at the moment. So there's all of those things, as well as the floating bridge, the schools, adult social care.
Yeah, I take your point on COVID. COVID is something that I think we're going to have to get used to. And, you know, those sorts of things are going to be around a lot more. And I think that, you know, the wearing of masks, having things in place to keep us safer, I think they're just going to become the norm. And, you know, people will be looking at the short term future and thinking, well, how long is it going to be before we can get to that point where we can actually go outside with X amount of people? I mean, what's your thoughts on the Isle of Wight Council? And I know that I'm not trying to put you on the spot and make you unpopular by saying one or the other, but what's your thoughts on it?
On what, Ian?
The Isle of Wight Festival. You know, some people...
I heard you say Isle of Wight. I didn't hear you say festival. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that want it. There's a lot of people that are very worried about it. My thought process on this has been right the way through from, I would have said about May last year, COVID is personal responsibility and common sense. Now, if I don't want to get COVID and I don't want to put myself at risk, I don't go out. I had people complaining that the high street was full and nobody was socially distancing. Well, don't go out then. I mean, you know, my thought, you don't put yourself in danger if you don't want to, do you? So, you know, that's up to people. If they choose to go to the festival, it's a risk that they're taking. It's, you know, I personally won't be.
No, and I know that, you know, I'm giving it lots and lots of thought and watching it, just like you have to, and just like so many other people. We're now waiting for the, you know, what's going to happen next week from the 14th. We will get some kind of answers, and that will kind of, you know, lead us down a path. But I've got to be honest with you, I don't need someone from London to tell me what we should be doing. I think going back to your point, and I think it's a valid point, and that is you take your own responsibility. And if you don't want to go out and don't get it, don't do it. Don't put yourself in that danger. And I think we, you know, that's basically been it from the beginning. It's common sense, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's my mantra. I've got that on my little sign off when I do emails. You know, common sense and personal responsibility, and that's the way you play it if you want to stay safe.
What's your thoughts on regeneration? When we come out of all of this, obviously we need to regenerate. We need to do all of those things. So what is the plan? I mean, because some people would be thinking, well, hang on a minute. When we left off before COVID, there was this plan to regenerate major parts of Newport, where we are at the moment, where Vectis Radio is, and the Riverside Centre as well. What's going to happen? Is that still in play?
Yeah, I think it's all still in play, as is, you know, what's happening over at East Cowes with Venture Keys and all the different areas there. In order to get the government funding that they, you know, that they announce, we have to jump through, you know, 50,000 hoops to be able to get funding to help these things happen. We need to get match funding in place. So there's a lot of work to be done, Ian, but everything is still being worked on. And I'm saying to the chief exec, prioritise. prioritise in a way that I said, I'm not talking about pie in the sky projects anymore. It's prioritising what we're going to get done, how we achieve it. That's what I want him to keep coming back to me on.
Okay, so that, I mean, that to me sounds like common sense. I mean, it's how much of you know, we read very recently that Debbie Andre, and I don't know, I mean, in some cases I've seen reports that, you know, she's halted it because of in other way, other reports I've heard that Debbie's gone in and said, well, hang on a minute, we need to take a look at this before we move further with the closing of a particular school. Is that it for most of the things? You've got to just come in and wait things up, just put things on, you know, stop, pause or whatever for now, just so that you can address them?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, Ian, nothing is straightforward. You know, the government financing for schools, for everything, you know, it's not straightforward. And if we, you know, close one little rural school, does that mean that sets a precedent then for other rural schools? I mean, I just think it's all a bit strange, to be honest. It's, you know, and we've got to take it as it comes and that sort of thing. We've just got to be very careful about saying what we can do, but it's how we achieve it.
Debbie's coming in a couple of weeks, so she'll kind of answer that question. But how quickly can you tell us how quickly it will be before things start moving with regarding that school and other things?
I would imagine what the parents needed to know was, is the school going to be open in September? And yes, it is. That's what we needed to get out to the parents immediately. It's then about the children's people coming back to us, education people coming back to us with alternatives to closing the school that then we can look into.
Now, I'm just looking at the list of people with, you know, the cabinet roles, and you know, I think the one that I don't envy the most of all, because I think he's got the toughest job, because I think it's on everyone's lips, and that is Phil Jordan. And I know that he's quoted as saying he's going to sort out the floating bridge. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, again, nothing straightforward. We're in a legal case, I am just about to investigate the legal case a little bit further, because I think I need to ask a few questions around that. It's the sort of thing that I was kept out of very much so when with the other administration. Now that I have got that authority, I'm going to look into that much more closely. There are a number of things that may be able to happen, but again, I really want to find out about this legal case and where we are, how far down the line, who's cost everything. There's a lot of questions need answering.
So, I mean, it's fair to say, I mean, you've been saying it for, you know, during this interview, and obviously I've seen a few other bits and bobs, you know, so we had a press release from the council. You know, give us time, because we need to make sure that we know exactly where we are. So before we know where we are, we can't actually decide where we're going. We know where we want to go. We want to put the Isle of Wight, you know, in a much healthier position. And we, you know, COVID has played a massive part in knocking the stuffing out of us. But if I'm honest, I used to walk down the high street before COVID and think, where's the high street gone? I mean, is that something we can expect to improve in the next 4 years? You know, the fact that we walk down the high street and we see, what was his name, Roger Sanders, he went out during lockdown and counted 34 shops in Newport that had gone. And probably since then, there's been a few more that have gone. So, I mean, first of all, is it the council's responsibility? And if so, you know, can we fix it?
Well, a lot of the shops, when people say, oh, you need to stop all the tax on the, you know, on the businesses, they can't afford the business rates, and they can't afford this and they can't afford that. Business rates are all set by government. A lot of the properties that people rent are private landlords, so it's not like we have a massive amount of say over what the landlords are charging on properties. I loathe to see all the empty shops. Government were going to bring in a planning thing whereby anyone in any shop can convert back to housing. And what you've got to remember, Ian, is over the years, the high streets have got much longer. You know, you go from Cowes Parade right the way to the floating bridge, and what was residential homes have all been turned into housing. Been residential been turned into shops. So we've, but the government was going to bring in that white paper on planning that anyone, any business could change, or any owner of a property could change into residential. And we're like, well, actually, that's not going to work. It can't be anywhere. But if you were to shorten the ends of the towns and put that back into housing and the empty shops, you know, it would balance out and make the actual town centres really busy. But you think about all the way up, I don't know, like Node Hill Way, and then up the other way in Newport, you know, it's a really long spread out high street. It would be good to condense, but I don't think it's as simple as that.
OK, no, that kind of makes sense. I mean, you know, the sad thing is 34 shops have still disappeared, and, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed. I mean, when you look, when you go down the main high street, you've got a number of big places. I mean, where HMV used to be, you've got on the corner there where Timothy White's used to be. And I'm not quite sure what it was called after that. It's changed hands so many times, and you just think that's their big spaces, their big shops, and that's a massive loss, and everyone's going to see that, and everyone's going to think the same thing. Oh crikey, you know, the high street's dying. And yeah, sadly, you know, has been for a number of years. And you know, I say, is it the job of the council to sort that out, or is it down to just people would, you know, start up your own business and bring it to town?
Well, to be honest, Ian, I mean, you know, I could see a sort of change really with things when I was running my business, because people were going online. People just find it a lot quicker and easier. You know, that we can go to the thing the other day where, you know, we were trying to buy something. I think we went to, it was a lock for a garage. And you know what? So you went to B&Q, Hearst, went to all these different places, not one of them. You come back, you click Amazon, and the next day the lock arrives. I mean, you know, you can see why things are changing, because it's people's convenience, isn't it? They don't even have to leave their homes to do it. So I think and it will be a shame if that's the case. I think it is the job of the town and parishes in the towns, and I do think it's the Isle of Wight Council, if we can do things, I do think it's everyone's responsibility. It's the people's responsibility to go out and use the shops, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Do you know what I'd love to see? I did say this to my mum, because my mum said, well, go on and put your money where your mouth is. What would you have in the town? And I said, do you know what? I'd have an indoor food market where HMV is, like food all around the world. You can go and buy all this stuff that we don't get in the normal shops, and cook, you know, oriental stuff, Korean, Chinese, Thai, Cambodia, and, you know, all those kind of, so you go for a trip around the world in the high street. And that, for me, all those smells, all those magical foods that you'd be able to buy, that would be legendary. That would bring people in.
Oh, you Gemini, you what I would say is HMV is already gone. That building's being, I don't know whether it's been bought or rented by either the Clinical Commissioning Group, the CCG, or the NHS, or both, or something. So the HMV, it's not going to happen there, love.
Oh, well, that's that then. That's my one idea. Before we let you go, because I know you're busy and I don't want to keep you too long, but I do, you know, we're going to get you to pick another song. But if, you know, just say, for instance, 4 years pass, what would you like to achieve in 4 years, in the next 4 years, with you and your team, if they're supportive and it goes as it should do? What do you want to achieve?
I would like to still be alive and sane.
Right. We'd all like that. But is it too early to say what you'd like to achieve?
Well, you know, to be honest, it would, you know, to make sure that people are healthy, happy, that you know, that our natural spaces, green spaces are protected, that we've got a thriving tourist island, you know, that education is good. You know, the list is endless, Ian, isn't it? But, you know, I can't say that we can achieve that in 4 years. Did anyone else?
No, I guess not. I mean, I don't know, because I can't remember asking them. But, you know, I just thought, I know what I'd want in 4 years' time. I'd want to be, and I'm pretty sure you will be, remembered for putting this back, doing that, making people, like you say, healthier. We've come through COVID. We've put regeneration in place. The roads are fantastic. I mean, they're getting there anyway. They're doing a fantastic job. Island Roads over the years, and the roads are far, far superior than they've ever been. And, you know, I think it's all of those things where you've got a little bit more harmony, a little bit more. Do you know what I'd really like? I'd really like people to actually understand, you know, not that what people actually are doing to make things better. And it's when you see 39 councillors that are all probably working incredibly hard, then you've got another X amount of people that are all working behind the scenes at the council, and a lot of people don't have any idea what they do, but all they do is go, "Rah, blimmin' council." And, you know, if just say, for instance, they had an idea of how hard it is, you know, I remember moaning once, and it was probably the last moan that I had. Now, where I live, just around the corner, there's a drop curb that was put in. And I said, "Why are they putting that in? They don't need that there. They got money for it." Yeah, how it works is somebody gave them money to do it. They can only spend that money on that. They can't spend it on anything else, so it's not wasted. It's done, and it's a good job. And I look at it now, and every time I walk over it, I think, do you know what? You were an idiot back then, because you asked a stupid question, you got an answer. But why did you do it that way? It's because you got a lack of information. You got a lack of a brain. And I just want people to engage their brain and just see what other people are trying to do. They're trying to make the Isle of Wight better. You know, every time somebody does something at the council, it's like, oh, moan and groan. And you just want them to look at it in a much more positive light. And I think that's half the blimmin' problem here on the island. Just open your eyes, ask a few questions, find out a few more details, and then you might be pleasantly surprised of how much hard work and effort has actually gone in.
Yeah, and I'd like to be able to, hopefully, I mean, I've said it today in a meeting. I was in a big meeting earlier today, and I said, you know, you need to start putting things into plain English that everyone can understand. I said, when you start talking in engineer speak, how on earth do you expect normal people to understand? If I struggle, how does anyone else? And I've been around local government 22 years. So I've said it needs to be plain English. It's like the press releases. They need to be very short. People haven't got time to read, you know, 6 A4 sheets. Everything needs to be, and it needs to be in plain English that people can just understand, Ian.
I think you're right. And just touching on that, and maybe, you know, I'm going now back in my mind. I'm sat at another radio station doing a phone in, and I'm talking to you, and we're talking about the people that are working at the council in the comms, and they had something like, I don't know, 12 people, a massive cost, and now you've only got like a few people down there. Some are part-time, some are full-time, and they're actually having to create more stories or actually communicate with people a lot more to put the details out there, but there's a lot less of them.
Yeah, and again, I mean, you know, social media is the one platform that I think a lot of people now, that's where they get their news from. It comes through so quick, and so that is one of the things that we need to do. Like you say, there's a few comms people there, but the message getting out is too long drawn out, you know, waiting for a paper to come out once a week. You know, the social media thing is the thing that makes it very instant.
Yeah, and so I'm not having to dig at them at all, because I think what they do is, what they achieve is massive. But I think, you know, the unfortunate thing is, because there's a lot less of them, there's a lot less communication with people out there that might not know about what's going on. And if they did, they wouldn't moan so much, if that makes sense.
Well, you know, to be honest, Ian, I mean, I've always said that. People are very good at knocking councillors and stuff. I actually sold my business in order to make sure that I had the time to represent my residents that supported me. You know, I gave up a lot to do this, and it's because I do love and care about the island, and I love and care my residents. I mean, they're absolutely fabulous down at Cowes Medina. They're adorable. So, you know, the thing is, we do it for all the right reasons, and I just don't think sometimes the public will quite realise the commitment that we make, and I wish that maybe some of them put themselves up for the job instead of, you know, it's so easy to knock people, isn't it?
It is. It's too easy. Hey, look, I think that I'm really hoping that you get the support that you deserve and need, because we all want to end up with the same thing. We all want to end up with a better island. We all want better things. We all want to come out of COVID. We want a better high street. We want better regeneration. We want a floating bridge that works. We want all of these things. We all want it, which makes us basically the same. We want the best thing for the Isle of Wight. So maybe, you know, pull on a jersey. It's a natural colour. There's no reds, there's no blues, there's no yellows. It's just a jersey and for the Isle of Wight, and we pull together and we make things better. Leave the bitching at the door, or just pack it in all together and just get on with it. And that's basically, I think that's a message from most people of the Isle of Wight. So I'm really hoping that you get the opportunity to do that. You get the support that you need. And we'll be talking in a few months time of how we're achieving that and moving forward.
Yep, that would be very nice indeed.
Well, good luck, Laura, and thanks for taking the time out today. I know you're incredibly busy, and as ever, if there's anything we can do for you, then don't hesitate to get in touch, and thank you for what you do for us.
Well, that's very kind of you, and I mean, you know, like you say, it's a team effort. If all of the island are pulling together for the right reasons, everything will work in the right place. Just as I say, it's about having that understanding and untangling where we are, so that we can then move forward with actually starting to get things in place. So anyway, yeah, thanks. Brilliant. Ian. Thanks for your support, and thanks to Vectis Radio. I mean, some of the stuff and the people that you've got working for you are absolutely incredible. I think it's wonderful that you've got, you know, the Queen's permission to play. I just think that's absolutely amazing and very well deserved. I was chuffed to bits when it's been a long time, Ian, and you've deserved all of it. And, you know, onwards and upwards.
Thank you, and good luck, and we'll speak again soon, and we'll get an update.
Okay, thank you.
Take good care.
And you.